As President Putin puts his military might on display in Moscow, we take a look under the hood at Russia's economy. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. It's Victory Day in Russia, and as it has been in years past, the occasion has been marked today with a military parade in Moscow's Red Square. The annual event serves as a reminder of the Soviet Union's sacrifices during World War II when 27 million of its citizens died. Today, though, President Putin has used the occasion to justify his decision to invade neighboring Ukraine, which he says was, quote, the right decision. Putin's remarks come just hours after Britain, Japan, the U.S., and Canada pledged more sanctions against Russia, including halting oil imports. As the screws tighten on Russia's economy, then, the BBC's Olga Evshina explains how ordinary Russians are managing financially.
In big cities like in Moscow or in some other regional capitals, you see that boutique shops are empty, that, you know, these huge malls are empty because many of the European brands had to go. But impact is felt all over Russia, even in small towns, even in villages, because prices for daily produce have jumped. People are struggling.
So overall, the economy is facing its worst economic performance since 1991. And to sort of get a sense of that, here's a clip from Maria Подзолко. She's the director of a Michelin-starred restaurant called Selfie.
We've lost banquets and events. Almost all birthdays have been cancelled. Corporations cancelled all major events because everyone was hostage to such deep stress. And our fine dining suffer the most, because people come here to celebrate.
She went on to describe the huge price differences that she's seeing now in bottles of wine. In one French bottle of wine that used to cost about $150, it now costs more than $700. That's obviously, you know, the sort of more luxury end of the economy of the spectrum. But is that the sort of thing that real people on the ground are dealing with and the problems that they're facing as well?
Ordinary people on the ground at the moment are facing sharp price, let's say, in cabbage prices, in meat prices, and also some are worried for the price of sugar, for example. But they are already trying to adjust their consumption, and it refers to all layers of Russian society. So those on top feel that some top wine brands have disappeared, but people, middle class or lower middle class, they're canceling their summer holidays because they need that money in order to prepare to another possible jump of prices in autumn.
That's the BBC's Olga Evshina there. Well, economic pain of a different kind now in China. Fresh data this morning showed the pace of export growth was the slowest there in nearly 2 years. The BBC's Joao Da Silva has more on that story.
It is yet another sign that China's strict zero COVID approach to the pandemic is taking a toll on its economy. China's export growth has slowed to 3.9% in April from a year earlier, a sharp drop from 14.7% growth recorded in March. The figures show the export sector losing steam as lockdowns across the country caused bottlenecks in the supply chain and brought major business and manufacturing centers in eastern China to a stop. But Chinese exports are facing other headwinds too. Demand for some Chinese goods in the US and Europe is weakening, with consumers there starting to feel the pinch from skyrocketing prices. All of this is adding to an increasingly bleak economic outlook in China and raising questions about its ability to reach its GDP growth target this year.
That's the BBC's Joao Da Silva reporting there. Checking the numbers now, it's a sea of red in global financial markets this morning amid concerns about rising interest rates and how those harsh Chinese lockdown measures could hit global economic growth. Stock benchmarks across Asia ended down in the 2.5% to 3.8% range today. Here in Europe, key indices are down 0.8% to 1%. And the U.S. dollar is hitting a fresh 20-year high today. To the Philippines now, where people across the country are heading to the polls to pick who will replace Rodrigo Duterte as president. Whoever that is will inherit an economy that's slowly emerging from the coronavirus pandemic. The BBC's Karishma Vaswani is in Manila and explains economic issues have been top of mind for the 67 million people casting their ballots.
The Philippines, like many countries in Asia, was badly hit by COVID-19. In fact, according to economists that we spoke to, it was one of the worst off. 75% of small and medium-sized businesses, according to this particular think tank, closed in the Philippines as a result of the pandemic. And the government support in this country was not at the level that we saw in other Southeast Asian countries. When you look at not just an advanced economy like Singapore's, but even Malaysia and Indonesia had more subsidies. So people really suffered here, and they're hoping that things are going to change under the next leader.
Now, there are 8 candidates in this election, but one, the son of a former dictator, seems to be the front runner. What is his plan to revive the economy?
Yeah, he is the son of former strongman Ferdinand Marcos, and in the Philippines, he's known as Bongbong Marcos Jr. But what Bongbong Marcos has been able to achieve is this sort of remarkable image transformation or makeover of his family name. Along with that, one of the things, of course, that he's trying to address is rising prices. Inflation has hit a recent 3-year high here. Now, he says he's going to address that by keeping the price of rice stable. But that's a really tough ask, given the fact that a lot of these things are global issues, not necessarily simply issues in the Philippines.
The BBC's Karishma Vaswani for us in Manila. Thanks so much for breaking this down.
Thank you, Victoria.
And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.